Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hologram Radio Show for Sunday, July 31st. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
And we're here to continue our Magic, It's Myth, and Realities series. This is part two. So Magic, It's Myths, and Realities part two. Our original show was done on June the 5th, which was four shows ago, and sorry it's taken us so long to get back to it. We know that we had several listeners that were quite intrigued by our show, and we had so much to cover when we did it on the 5th of June that we decided to do a second part and continue on. And because we never really got a chance, Ash and I, to really explore the ideas and that which we wanted to share with you about our own ideas on magic and how important it is in our lives and how much of a part of even the band that magic is. And so we just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. And we are recording this show here. We are currently in Deming, Washington, just having a little bit of R&R, and we're going to record the show. And unfortunately, we won't be having any callers in. But that being said, we welcome any comments and anything up for discussion, because we can always have a part three show, and you can bring your thoughts and your responses to that which we talk about today at that time. So welcome, Ash.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Ash and I have been sitting here talking about magic prior to doing the show, and there's so much we want to cover, and you know, we've got an hour to talk about it. And a lot of times when I approach the shows, I think, how are we going to fill up an hour? And then we get to an hour and I go, oh my goodness, there's so much more that we can talk about. But I'm going to just start by, I started the last show by talking a little bit about magic and its definitions and explaining why in the topic I put magic with the K. It's magic, M-A-G-I-C, and then I put K in brackets. And I understand that magic, M-A-G-I-K, is associated mostly with witchcraft, mostly Wiccan. And I want to state that I'm not a Wiccan. Ash isn't a Wiccan either, but we're quite familiar with the Wiccan religion, and I also have had some good friends who are Wiccans, so I have nothing against any religion or philosophy that is supportive of each other and the natural world and of the lighter parts of things as opposed to the darker. Anything that tears down, I am not a fan of, or tries to shame or guilt anybody. But from what I know of the Wiccan philosophy, religion, they are very supportive of nature and of bringing love and unity and all that. So we just did that just to be open-minded to magic, because that's what is required. First and foremost, I think magic, we've sort of relegated it to a magician or illusion, or I've also seen people degrade it in some way, you know, as if it's just for people who are easily gullible or people who don't really know what counts or what matters, you know, oh, magic, schmagic kind of attitude. And magic is so much more. Magic is a part of our reality. I've said that in the brief description of this show, very much a part of our reality. And we just want to explain why and how it is. So I'm just going to, that being said, I'm going to say, Ash, what would you like to continue with?
Hello, everybody. All right, so what I want to talk to you about a little bit in regards to magic is just about the existing of it, like the existence of it. It's a lot harder to accept changes in your life if they're magical, yet somehow as soon as you do, it all seems easier. And I for one, like, I was talking to Cheryl earlier about this, and how, you know, I was so excited to see Sonic Youth play years and years ago. Like, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, they were playing in Seattle, and I was really, really sick, and I want to see Sonic Youth more than anything, and I was doing okay, and I, you know, there would be no reason for me not to go. And then the morning of the concert before my trek for Seattle, I heard a song, actually, it was a Nirvana song. And I hadn't heard it in a while, so I stopped. I had everything ready to go, was going to go to Seattle, and I just heard the song. I heard a Nirvana song. I stopped, and it just made me actually stop, like put everything down and listen. And if I didn't do that, if I didn't stop and just sit down before I left, I probably would have gone, and I ended up in the hospital that day. I was so, so sick. Like, it just felt magical to me after thinking about it, because if I didn't stop and just go, okay, I gotta center myself a little bit, something doesn't feel very right, because I was so determined to go to that concert, I would have been there, I would have been staying at the Moore Hotel, sick as all heck, and I would have just, you know, I believe that that song came on at the moment, so I wouldn't have to go through something worse than what I went through. And, you know, all magic can kind of sound far-fetched in a way, but, I mean, think about it. Like, as soon as you allow magic in, even if you haven't really seen too many examples of it, as soon as you just allow its existence into your life, then it's able to work its magic. The magic can work its magic. That's what I believe, because, you know, if I would have just been like, oh, it's a real good thing I didn't go to Seattle, you know, not knowing why it happened, like, it just seems like you're, it's like, you know, kind of, they kind of say deja vu, when you have one, you feel like you're in the right place, right? Like, you feel like, you know, you're right where you're supposed to be. Well, when I see existence as, like, existence of magic, I feel like it's where I'm meant to be. Because why would that magic be showing up at a time when, you know, I need it most? It's kind of just like people put, you know, religion into things, and okay, God is going to do this for you, and God is going to do that for you, and you just have to have faith. I don't really believe in putting my faith in one higher power. I believe it should be universal. And magic is one of those things. You know, it sounds airy-fairy in a way sometimes for people to talk about magic, but I mean, it's magic is you. It's not like some big higher force is coming down to say, this is what you must do, or this is the commandment. It's you. It's telling you that you're you, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and it's leading you to the next moment. And sometimes you need the magic to kind of, at least in my experience, really to feel like you're where you're supposed to be.
So what I hear from you then, Ash, is that magic is something that is also can be explained as circumstance or coincidence or serendipity or intervention or spiritual manifestation of some kind. So I think it's important that you've shared that story, because we sort of think of magic in one way, and magic is all-encompassing, because what magic really to me is, it's about something that we can't quite explain. It's something that happens or occurs, and we can't quite explain it, but we know it to be real because of our experience of it. But if you were to say to somebody, well, I had a magical intervention, it could have been worse for me had I not had the Nirvana song come on when it did, and it caught my attention so much so that it stopped me. And because I was so excited about this Sonic Youth concert, I probably wouldn't even have paid attention to my body saying, you know, you better not go, because your head goes, I'm going, man, I got these tickets, and I've been waiting to go to this concert. This means everything to me. And why would the universe stop me? Right.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And so you were, there was an intervention.
Yeah.
In a way, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It came from a higher knowing. That's not even a higher power, just a higher knowing.
So whose higher knowing was it? Yours? Or was it?
I think it was mine, like my highest self. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, you know, it just seemed like in that moment, because it's not even, I wasn't closed to magic at all. But because I actually stopped and went, whoa, okay, that seems a little weird. Like, why did I stop just at that moment that could have made or broke me?
Yeah.
And it was important.
So I want to talk a little bit about magic with regards to Kevin's question from the last show, because Kevin was asking us, and we never got to answer this, and I said we would in future show, and this is it. This is the future show. Kevin asked us that, how do we apply magic in our own lives, right? How is magic applied? If it were to be, you know, rather than just an esoteric idea, if it's a tangible thing. Because magic can be a tangible thing in its expression, right? So we have people who use magic, for example, they will do rituals. And rituals is a form of magic because there's a focus. Suddenly you're doing something tangible. You're taking a certain space, and you're doing things with certain items, right? So that's just an example of tangible in terms of magic. And I wanted to bring in, I looked at the Wikipedia site, and I was intrigued by what they thought magic was. I love Wiki, actually. I think it's pretty cool. And I was really drawn to the theories of adherence with regards to magic, what they have on Wiki. So anybody who's interested, just look out magic on Wikipedia. And I wanted to talk about these individually, and we'll kind of go back and forth, and maybe I'll ask your thoughts on this too, Ash, because these are adherents. This is how we apply magic, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is, as I said, this is more of the tangible rather than us just talk about, well, magic happened in this, you know, in my life, and this is what I, you know, this is what I think it is. I think it's important, you know, all science is based in evidence, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is why oftentimes I think magic gets dismissed, because there doesn't seem or appear to be any particular kind of evidence. So let's talk a little bit about the adherence. And the first one that they talk about is a mystical force or energy. So when I'm saying that I'm experiencing magic, and you just said this, Ash, you said a higher knowing, right? Mm-hmm. So that could also be a mystical force or an energy contributing to the experience. So I want to tie this into music, because we're a band, right? Just yeah. In case you forgot.
And we're a band too. Holograms.
and music to us is magic. And so we kind of want to integrate music into our definitions and our experience of magic, so that you understand us even as a band, not only as individuals, as artists, but also as a band. And a mystical force or energy is something outside of myself. This is what I see it as. Something outside of myself, but I'm still tapped into it. And without this mystical force or energy, magic for me cannot exist. Mm-hmm. Because to me, magic is a part of the collective. It's part of all creation. It's how I, it's what I feel when I kiss a tree. We, you know, we kind of joke around about kiss a tree. It seems to have become our kind of trademark. But we seriously do kiss trees. And what it means to us isn't a joke. It's connecting to nature, connecting to a natural element, connecting to that higher mystical force or energy that's in trees, that's in nature. Mm-hmm. Trees are just a symbol. And they're something that allows us to focus. For me, it's a focus. It gets me grounded. It reminds me that I connected. I am part of this mystical force or energy. Is there anything you wanted to add?
There's so many things that make me realize that this is just so... Everything that's happening in our life right now, even to do with the music, to do with magic, is basically, in a way, asking us to look beyond what we've already known. And I think that's what magic's doing, because you're taught all your life just, okay, this is how things are, this is the reality, this is fantasy, this is something else. And, you know, magic really is, I wouldn't even say it's the gray area, I'd say it's like the beautifully rainbowed area. Because it's not black or white, like magic isn't. You really kind of have to learn to expand your vibrations. And, I feel like everything is just, it's calling us to just really open up to more ways of existing than the one we've only lived so far.
So in order for me, in order to experience magic at its highest, you must, each of us must be open-minded, and we must be willing to go mm-hmm. beyond the constraints of what we've been taught, the constraints of what others have told us is. I keep using the Roger Bannister example. When he finally cracked the 1 minute mile in the 50s, everybody prior to that never believed that the 1 minute mile could happen. And as soon as he did it, everybody was doing it. And this, to me, is what magic is. Magic is you have to go outside what people or even yourself tells you is reality, is truth, is your reality. I think that's the biggest thing, is that we all have to decide and define for ourselves our reality. And we need to be strong enough to stand in it, because what is my reality may not be the same as your reality. And who am I to tell you what your reality should be? And I think we tend to meddle a little bit too much in each other's realities. And I'm also guilty of this, because, you know, I've seen things that I felt were injustices, and I get in there and I'm saying this is how it should be, or that's how it should be. And I'm going to stand with my principles. I'm not going to let go of those. But I need to also allow another person's life path to evolve, and and be what it is. And I mean, I'll never forget the first time I ever sat down with somebody. When these concepts were first introduced to me, I would say that's probably a good 13 years ago now. I've always been open-minded and connected with spirit, but not with the intervention of spirits per se, which is the next theory of adherent, because I wasn't open-minded for that. I just thought it was too bizarre. And I'll never forget, there's this gentleman who was quite spiritual, and I had a coffee with him. I met him through work, and I was actually doing some work with him for my company, and we had a coffee together, and he started telling me about his spirit guides. And I'll never forget, my reaction at that time was, what? This guy's a loon. And that's honest. I just thought, spirit guides? What are you talking about, man? I mean, I've heard about angels, and I've heard about fairies, and I've even heard about elves and gnomes and you know, sprites and whatnot. And they're almost, you know, they're fairyland, they're fantasy, right? And you're talking about spirit guides, and he kind of threw me for a loop. But I mean, a lot has changed in 13 years.
Because, I'd say so.
Yeah, a lot has changed, and to include my now belief in spirit guides and my understanding of my spirit guides and my connection with them, and you know, it's another way of getting help. Mm-hmm. So magic can actually be the most divine and beautiful way of living your life and feeling protected, guided, and aided.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Aided.
So getting back to what I was speaking about with the adherence of magic in terms of the application of magic, I'm glad that you spoke about it being normal. If we were to see it more as normal and not as something that we're being tricked into, I think sometimes people think that magic is a trick, or that you can't have any faith in magic or the truth of magic, or that magic is actually real. And I like that you said that, Ash, that you said that if we were just to take it more as being normal as opposed to it being separate from ourselves or something that is almost like an entertainment value. I know that now anytime anybody's describing themselves as a psychic or whatnot to do with working with what some may see as magic, that you have to say for entertainment purposes. So we're just basically kind of relegating magic into being entertaining. But what we're both saying here is that magic is reality. And if we were all to believe it or to see it as so, it's not being an illusion. In fact, it's far more real than the illusion that we're all walking in. A lot of what we believe is reality is, in fact, illusion. Getting back to the theories of adherence in the practical application of it, one of the things that stood out to me with magic is recognizing the oneness of all. The oneness of all. And I'm going to read directly from Wiki because I really love what they said here. This philosophy holds that magic is little more than the application of one's own inherent unity with the universe, hinging upon the personal realization or illumination that the self is limitless. One may live in a unison with nature, seeing and preserving balance in all things. To me, that sums up my whole ideology around magic right there. To me, it's recognizing how connected we are. So even when you're speaking about someone calling you, when you've been thinking about them, so the energy of thought, the magical energy of a thought, actually permeating sometimes thousands of miles across the world to another's consciousness, that they actually are thinking about you at the same time and phoning you because you came to mind. So is that not looking at the oneness of all? How else could that thought, that magical thought, have left one person's mind and their conscious mind and entered your own or vice versa?
Exactly. I mean, how can you explain that? You just think of somebody and not even a few minutes later they call, or even an hour later they call when you haven't talked to them in years. There's got to be some kind of magic that even happens between two people. And, you know, it's just letting that happen instead of saying, oh yeah, that's whatever, just coincidence. Magic is not coincidence, and coincidence is not just coincidence. it's everything really truly does have a place for magic. Everything. No matter what your job is, no matter what your passion is, no matter who you love, there's magic.
So I look back at my own life because I think this is really important for us to sort of share examples of our lives so that we can make this, you know, more real. Here we're talking about the magical power of the subconscious mind. You think about the times where you've had a thought. And it could have been a thought that, I'd really love to have a red car. Okay, I'll use that example. I'd really love to have a red sports car one day, right? And that thought could be a fleeting thought. And then it leaves, right? You're going, whatever. We dismiss it, or it just is a thought that sort of is a fleeting thought and it comes through our minds. And then we find ourselves many, 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 many years later, you know, with a red sports car. And then we suddenly realize and remember, oh my goodness, how long ago did I actually think this? And now it's manifested. I found a lot of times in my own life that I will have sudden realizations that I've manifested something, even when I didn't understand that I'd manifested it until quite a bit after mm-hmm. it shows itself. The car is a good example because I do drive a red sports car now. And I did kind of envision myself, you know, wouldn't that be nice to have a fast car? And I like the color red. It's one of my favorite colors. And so here I am now, but I didn't have the realization until later about the thought. So the magical power of the subconscious mind, how we can bring something to the forefront, and then where does it go? Where does the thought go? Where does the intention behind the thought go? So I think it's really important for each of us to sort of recognize the magic in our own lives and kind of go back a bit and explore maybe an old thought that you can actually look in your life now and go, holy whatever, fill in the blank, that is actually my experience now. So if we recognize the power of the subconscious mind, the magical power of it, subconscious to conscious to subconscious, can we actually formulate our life experience more so? Mm-hmm. Can we believe in the magic of our own thoughts, the magic of our own desires, the magic of our own wishes? I had a really good friend of mine tell me that wishes are far more powerful than prayers. And to me, that's magic, because when I thought about it, it made sense to me. Mm-hmm. It made perfect sense to me. Prayer is a request. It's the way things are. Wishes are going outside of the parameters of even a prayer. So pay attention to your wishes. Pay attention to your dreams. And pay attention to them happening, even in a small way. You know, mm-hmm. I wish my boss would give me a day off. And then you have a day off, maybe even 3 months or 4 months away, or a year. Oftentimes, if we don't actually give it parameters, it just happens whenever it happens. Sometimes we can actually get more specific with our wishes and see them happening. And that is magic.
Also, even the band, like our band has come about because of actual, like, real life, beautiful magic. And if it weren't for everything lining up completely right in that magic, we wouldn't be sitting here together doing this radio show. That's one thing I have to say. It's really important that you give thanks for the magic too that's happening, and not even to anywhere in particular, but just giving thanks that it's happening. I'm so happy, absolutely thrilled to be in Hologram, and like I said, like, we even have a new bass player, and that just seemed to happen the right way as well, Kirsten, and she too believes in magic, and it's just, we're so excited about the future of our band, and because we're just open to possibilities, and open to change, and open to miracles, that's what we're seeing.
Beautiful. I like that. That's exactly, because we're open to it, and we're expecting it, that's what we're seeing. And there you got it, right there. How many of us are actually open to seeing magic? And it doesn't even take a lot. As long as you're a little bit open, you'll see it all around you. We're going to have squeaking throughout the whole thing.
We have squeaking on this show, and we're keeping that in because it's real. And, yeah, we're sitting at a table that's kind of creaky, and like I said, we're camping. I actually, I wrote something yesterday. We're sitting on a swing just outside and talking about magic, and I decided that I felt something in the moment and wanted to write about it. So I have it right here in front of me, and it's just, I was just, it was just coming out. So, magic is not the shifting or manipulation of reality. Magic is reality. If we manage to wrap our heads around that, we can better conjoin the scientific beliefs with the left brain knowledge that science is fact. They say we have the power to create our own reality, but why is magic not looked upon as part of that? Why is it that when we make magic into reality, it's viewed as fantasy? When we marry magic with reality, I believe all that's left is our reality, with a more broad and sensical breeding ground for possibility instead of impossibility. The saying, "If you can dream it, you can live it," didn't come from the abyss, it comes from proof. The mind is the best and most valuable tool to us. It is the creator.
So, magic is what?
Magic is the creator, but so is our mind.
Well, magic isn't it the not the creator, it's the result of the creation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the mind is the creator. Like, 'cause I mean, if you, just like you said about the sports car,
Yeah.
you created that reality for yourself.
Yes, I did, and I created the reality of this dog who's beside us too, because when I was a child, this is how far it goes back. When I was a child, I would think about my dog because I wasn't allowed to have a dog when I was a kid. I thought about the perfect dog. I would spend time actually thinking about it as a little girl. And then Anna came along, and it wasn't actually till I had her for a while that I realized she was, in fact, the manifestation of that little girl's thoughts.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
That's cool.
So recognizing that, that's how far that when I was saying before that your thoughts can go way back. Just really pay attention
They can
to
go
who you've
way
been.
back, way back, way, way back. Like, look how badly long ago I wanted to be in a different band. I wanted to be in a band that was melodic, that really had, like, I was always in bands that had feeling in it. But this is different. This is magic. A lot of people would say some of the other music I've done could be construed as the same thing because it has feeling in it, but this is different. I mean, from the minute we wrote our first song, that was it. Like, we just hit the ground running as soon as we just played together one time.
And that being said, we have a new release coming out tomorrow, Monday, August 1st, on iTunes. This is our fifth release, and this song is called "Had to Go," and this is the song that Ash is talking about. "Had to Go" was the very first song that we ever wrote together, and it's a very poignant subject matter. And perhaps one day we'll discuss that, but for now, you need to experience it. And so we're going to give you a taste. We're going to let you hear the song,
The whole
and
thing.
please support the band. Purchase this song on iTunes, 99 cents. Everything that you do to support us helps us to continue on. And I also want to thank Kevin Stewart Swain for the production of this song. He was the one who decided that we should keep it raw and keep it real, and that's exactly what we did. And so this is our first acoustic song, and this song was written by Ash and I, and it's called "Had to Go."
I am blind for you inside. A million days before the blushing bride, I wait the end of an endless night and watch you sleep with pallor in my eyes. Seamless time will not prevail. All I am and all that's failed. Without within, I am a dead. I peer through windows as you wait. Ooh. gentle lady, summer breeze. Your white shadow is what I see. I come to you and wish you'd know this visage veil of what had to go. You held my heart within your box. You did prevail, sly as a fox. Enamored well, couldn't let you be. I felt your cells deep inside of me. Ooh, I had to go, this had to go. All I became simply had to go. Now I come, not as I was, but as I am, sweet cooing dove. I whisper soft, sweet something's near. My bits of love tangle in your hair. My bits of love tangle in your hair. My bits of love tangle in your hair. Bits of love tangle in your hair. Had to go, this had to go. All I became simply had to go. You won't let go. All I know, all I knew was that I had to go.
Alright, so that was Had to Go. We're really excited to be releasing that on iTunes tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
That's right.
We are so absolutely excited. We've been just plugging along here, trying to, just really get our music heard. And we're just going to keep going and keep going. So any support that you can give us would be beautiful. And I also want to tell you now, well, Cheryl and I would like to tell you, that we're going to give you one more bonus listen to a song today. Since we're not having callers, we're just going to fill that time up with a bonus, a treat for you. And this is our other song, Baptize, in brackets, The Universe. This is kind of a more poignant song about religion and whether, you know, you decide for yourself. I mean, it's about how actually, you, Cheryl, you take this.
Okay. I'm probably the one who speaks mostly about this. So my own experiences and how I just want to be part of one. And I like, Ash, that you're in the same boat with me here. Hologram has the same philosophy. It's not about any particular religion. It's about all of us together, the oneness of all. And unfortunately, religion can come in there and can squash people, literally squash people from being who they truly are. Any religion that tells you that you're a sinner from day one, you're pretty well doomed. And so it's important to, what I'd like to do is tell everybody that you're all exactly beautiful as you are. You don't need any philosophy or religion to define who you are. Many people might get upset at me for saying that, but recognize the freedom, if you do accept that, how great the freedom is for you in knowing that you are already divine and you are a child of the universe, a child of whatever you choose to call God, and that your existence here definitely matters and you are loved. And the more we recognize that we are truly loved and capable of love and lovable, we're not sinners doomed to anything, and that our heaven is here. As we live our lives, we create our heaven or our hell. Many of us know that personally. So Baptize the Universe is a song we want to play now because it goes and ties in with magic, in that we don't want anyone to think that magic is not of the divine. And sometimes religion would tell you that. So here's Baptize the Universe.
Which is our last release on iTunes.
That's correct. That was our fourth release. That was Baptize the Universe, a song with a very strong message about a subject that each of us are quite passionate about. And that song was written by Ash, myself, and Kevin Stewart Swain. And we're going to conclude our segment on magic, its myths and realities, part two, with a short, approximately 10-minute meditation. And the purpose of this meditation is to help guide you to that place within that can be a direct conduit and connection to the magical realm. And anything that will help you, one of the theories of adherence is that concentration or meditation can actually bring you to a place of magic or of magical experience. And so this is the goal here, is that we will take you on a journey. I will take you on a journey. You will take yourself on a journey. Follow my voice, follow my lead. If you go off, that is fine too, because you might find that you naturally go somewhere else. You will still hear my voice in the background, and it's all fine. It's all good. So I want to, before we begin, I'd like to say this. One of the biggest hindrances to the experience of magic is the mind. For some of us are far too in love with our mind. Therefore, we lose sight of the experience and the miraculous, which is magic. So what we're doing here is we're getting out of the senses. You know, sometimes we feel that if we can't see it, we can't taste it, we can't touch it, then it's not so. So we need to go from our five senses into our sixth sense to experience the miracles of magic and recognize that magic is all around us. So we want to open up that part of us. We want to open up the third eye, if you will, and help us to see and to be able to transform and transcend the five senses. So here we go. We're going to begin. I'd like you to find a comfortable place for yourselves to be seated, that nothing is bothering you. You don't have anything poking at you. You have nothing that's a hindrance. You can sit in your chairs right now and just place your feet apart. Try not to cross them. You don't want to cut off any circulation during this. And put your hands where you feel comfortable. They can rest on your lap. They can rest on the chair, on the arms of the chair. They can be together if you choose. And sit straight and close your eyes. And we're going to start with a deep breath, a few cleansing breaths. So just breathe with me, starting with a breath in and full exhale out. Try to make your breaths equal in length. So go in and out. Last breath in and out. And continue deep breathing to the best of your ability. You don't want to focus too much on the breath. You want it to become natural. You're going to come with me. We're going on a journey together here. And we're going to start by imagining a staircase in front of us. And I want you to see it maybe around 8 feet ahead of you, and you are going to approach the staircase, and it's one that is ascending, not descending. So you're going to be going up the staircase. And we're going to go through colors. We're going to go through the chakras. And we're going to start with our base chakra, and the color is red. So I'd like you to approach the staircase. And one step in front of the other, and you're at the final destination, which is the staircase. And the first step is a beautiful glowing red, and I want you to step right onto it, both feet firmly planted. And I want you to stay on the red step, and I want you to breathe in the color red, and I want you to breathe out. And I want you to see as you breathe out that this color is surrounding you. And continue breathing the color in and out and all around you. Just see red. And I want you to become red. And now you must stay in this red and just feel the warmth of the color. Feel how red is. As you step onto this step, you are going to become orange as you did with red. You're going to breathe in orange and exhale orange. And as you exhale, you are surrounding yourself with the color orange, feeling the aura of the color, the warmth of the color, and you are becoming orange.
Now you're ready for the next step up, and both feet are going 1, 2 onto the step above you. And this step is yellow. So as you firmly plant your feet onto the step, you allow yourself to breathe in the color yellow and exhale the color yellow. And as you exhale, the color yellow surrounds you. You see nothing but yellow. You become yellow. You are yellow. Feel what it is to be yellow. And now you're ready for your next step. Step up, 1 foot, 2 feet firmly planted, and you have stepped onto green. And as you step onto green and you firmly plant yourself in green, you breathe in green, and you exhale green, surround yourself with green. All you can see is green. Feel what it is to be green. The energy of the color is you. You are green. Now you're ready for your next step up. 1, 2 feet firmly planted on the step above. You have now stepped onto blue. Breathe in deeply, blue into the lungs, and exhale, blue all around, swirling. You can see nothing but blue. Feel what it is to be blue, and you are with and one. For the next step up, 1, 2 feet firmly planted, you have entered indigo. Look at the step, this beautiful indigo, a color between purple and blue, deep, lovely dye color. It has a resonance all of its own. Breathe it in and exhale it. Allow indigo to swirl around you, permeate you, become you. You are indigo. Be one, be indigo. And now as you breathe in, you step 1 foot, 2 feet up for the next step, and you've now entered purple. Look down at the step, see the color, feel the color, breathe in purple. Purple becomes you, you become purple. Exhale and send purple out all around you, and that's all you can see. You are purple. Recognize that you have arrived at your destination. All it takes is one step up, and you step 1 foot, 2 foot up, and you have entered white. You are in white. You are white. It's a large room that has no walls, no ceiling, no floor. You are breathing in white and out white. You are surrounded and you are white. You are white. Be white. And as as you are one with white, and you are floating with white, you no longer have any sense of gravity. You are not attached to the body. You have suddenly been lifted into the white. The white is cushioning you, cocooning you. The white is the ultimate in a sense of security and comfort. The white is you. The white is what connects you to other white. There is no differentiation between white. All is one. White is you, and you are white. You might see some persons or some beings or some animals or anything perhaps has come into your white realm to show you that they too are part of the white. Pay attention to these animals, these people, these beings. Say hello and listen. Listen. For you to say thank you, to say goodbye for now, and to acknowledge and be acknowledged for the divinity that they are and that you are. And it's time for you to come back down to the floor. Gravity takes you down to the top of the staircase, and together we will climb down. And looking down, you see all colors like a rainbow before you. And you step down to purple, and next to indigo, and then to blue, and then to green. And then to yellow, and then to orange, and then to red. And your final step down to where you began. And now I want you to wiggle fingers and toes and start to open your eyes and come back into the room. And you've just completed a chakra meditation. So there you have it. We've done a unique show. Ash, thank you.
You're welcome.
I really wanted to commend you for the guitar work that you did while I did the meditation. It's beautiful, and that way we don't have to worry about copyrights or anything. Everything's hologram.
That's what I'm saying.
Keeping it in the family.
Keeping the fam.
A hologram family. That's what you're saying. So tomorrow, iTunes, our fifth single is out.
Please buy it. Support us, please. We'll support you.
We support you and us and all of us. We're just really grateful for the support that we've received, and for those of you that can support us with purchasing the tune, fabulous. Just even supporting us by saying hey, you know, and keeping in touch with us, that means the world. And we are going to be doing a live radio show, our next show, so 2 weeks from today, Sunday. We will be doing a live show, so you'll see that on the BBS site. You can see what our next topic will be. So we haven't had callers in because we've been doing recorded shows a couple times and a repeat recently, but we are welcoming our callers back, and thank you for sticking by us. You guys are all fantastic, and we love doing this show, so we're really grateful.
We love it.
For the hologram radio show. So stay in touch. Kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree.
If you're interested in being in the newsletter, just email at us at info@hollow-gram.com. And know that we love you. Spread the love. Love yourself first, and then you can love the world.
Goodbye.
Peace out.